Oh, snaps!
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, raw feeders. I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company. Well, your pet's health is our business, and we're friends. Like my friend Dr. Andy, she doesn't let friends feed kibble, right?
No, I do not.
It just, you know what, Dr. Andy? I mean, look, if you go to the doctor let me preface this, a holistic doctor, an alternative doctor, I mean, one of the things that they're going to be asking is, what the hell are you eating, right? What first and foremost, right? What are you eating?
Mm-hmm.
Traditional, I don't think that we as people, traditional doctors and probably traditional pet people that are helping our pets think that nutrition's that big of a deal. They just don't.
No, I don't think they do, except when they want to sell them some prescription kibble.
Has anybody ever got this answer, Andy? What's prescription in there? How is this prescription?
We've never gotten an answer. It's just a marketing ploy.
Yeah, it's just marketing. It's just a way for a certain organization to control and sell, push,
yes,
a certain blend. And how clever was it to have the name prescription diet?
Yeah, it was brilliant.
And you put it with a vet.
Right. And I think even the vets are like, "Woo, this must be special." It's not, folks. But yeah, it plays into the whole marketing of big business of big pharma, big food.
You know, we work a lot with Dr. Maricel Arce, who is her website is terraindoctor.com. She's out of New York. I've had her on the podcast. Haven't got that up yet, but she's amazing. And I have her working with my mom right now. And her first thing is looking at the diet. What are you eating? What are you drinking? What supplements are you putting in your body? What pharmaceuticals are you putting in your body? Okay. And then of course, one of our favorite things, how much are you outside? How much are you getting mm-hmm. joy in your life, exercising, that sort of thing. But just recognizing that the body, if it's going to perform correctly, it needs to be fed correctly, watered correctly, and stop being poisoned. You would think that'd be pretty darn easy, Dr. Andy, but it's not. It's not easy. No. I when pet parents call me, I'm like, what else are we putting in there? Well, I'm putting a little freeze dried in there. I'm putting a little kibble in there. I'm putting a little olive oil, avocado oil. And I'm like, why are you doing that?
Why are we doing that? I am amazed by all the additives that are just not required. That pet parents have heard through whatever grapevine they heard they needed to do it.
Well, let me ask you, what do you think about olive oil in a dog's food or avocado oil in a dog's food? Let me ask you that first.
I don't see the purpose. And if you are feeding a raw food diet, they can handle the fat content. I'm not worried about that, but there's really no reason for that. And I'm going to stick to, because we know Dr. Andy's a carnivore, where's the meat fat? Let's just stick with that. I really don't need avocado oil. I don't, for what purpose? Their skin's a little dry. Well, then they're dehydrated. Their mitochondria are dehydrated. You might want to start adding some water to that meal, see where that gets you. Also, the amount of artificial light and EMF and not getting outside also dehydrates mitochondria. So get your animal outside, get them grounded, and turn the damn television off at night. And you'll probably be on your way to some changes. So if the supplements in general, it's like, ooh, let's add this. Ooh, let's add this. Ooh, how about we check out the environment first? Let's actually back off on all the additives, all the supplements, all the, well, my friend was using this that you decided to use 3 years ago and have never stopped, you know, whatever it is. If it's probiotic, if it's a joint supplement, those things cannot be long term. They need to be pulsed in and pulsed out. They need to be changed. They need to, it just drives me bonkers, what people add. And then that's also a lot of money. Let's really maybe get some different meat blends that you wouldn't normally spend the money on instead of a supplement. Let's rotate that through. That might make a world of difference.
So that was the reasoning behind these oils, was they wanted to add some fat. And I said, well, you need to add animal fat.
Yes. Yes.
Not, and the other problem was they were having the squirties. And I'm like,
Yeah, because it, okay, those animals, it was too much fat for them. That's what you're going to get when the gallbladder and the digestive system's like, whoa, that is too much fat for us. You're going to get the runs. Go have a couple scoops of coconut oil yourself and see what happens this afternoon.
ew.
You might be a little busy by yourself in another room. Same thing with your animals. Okay, that tells you that's just too much fat or a fat that's not agreeing with them. Okay, cool, stop that. But yeah, you go to animal fat first. You know, maybe it's a duck wing with a little more of the skin on it. Try that. See how that goes. Yeah, try an actual duck blend. And this is also just, I'm a mixer. I think you're a mixer,
Yeah.
right? I
Oh,
got
yeah.
some duck, I got some beef, I got some turkey, I got it all just goes in there. I just use it up. I mean, I have too many animals and it just, you know, whatever. So if you get some duck and it turns out to be too rich, too fatty for them, pull back, add in a lesser fat meat and mix those. Like
Right.
we can work the body up to handling it. You can. But yeah, if you just throw down, let's say your animal eats 10 ounces in the morning, you throw 10 ounces of duck, yeah, that might not go well that time. But it's not the food. It's the process in the body that needs a little bit of ramping up to handle it.
Well, and two, Dr. Andy, what else has been going on, right? Are we in a change of season? Have we just had a round of injections? Have we just done a puppuccino? Oh my gosh, it makes me so mad when I see that. And
You
that's
know
so
how many of
terrible.
my clients leave me and go get a puppuccino? Because
It
not only do
makes
they
me
get to
crazy.
go have chiropractic, they feel bad about being adjusted, so their pet parents take them for a puppuccino. And I'm like, okay, folks. You just ramped up the inflammation through the roof.
Yeah, I'm just like, what in the world are you thinking? Right? And look, I don't think pets are thinking like a child. I just had a chiropractic
Yeah,
adjustment.
no.
Now I need some ice cream to soothe me. No.
No.
And pet parents will say, "My dog loves them." I get it.
You love that? I love that reasoning. Love it. But they like it. Yeah, no kidding. If someone sat you down with a cup of whipped cream, you're gonna be upset.
I love whipped cream. My mom makes this thing and she calls it heavenly hash. And we've had it my entire life. Okay. And it is homemade whipped cream with all types of fruit in it. And it is, I always get to lick the bowl. I always get to lick the mixers when I'm at home. That's my thing. My poor stepdad, she's like, no, you cannot lick the mixers. Those are for Didi. Well, please help me here. Somebody eat, you know, this stuff that I'm putting, you know, down my pie hole here. Yeah, but guys, please don't do that. Don't do bad fats for your dog. And then I was, you know, Dr. William Faulkner, right? He puts out some good stuff, and
He
he was,
does. I enjoy his writing. Yeah.
Well, he's in India. Where are they going to come after him in India? They're not going to get him, right? He still does. I don't agree with everything, you know. He still sort of straddles the line on the rabies, where he's like one and done, and I'm like, just don't do any. Just a little bit of poison is probably still not very good. But he talks about the accumulative effects that we don't think about. And he's like, okay, your dog gets an injection, and maybe they don't itch right then, but in a month, right? In a month, in 2 months, in 3 months, and then that's when, you know, you get the calls that I think my dog's allergic to X, Y, and Z, pure raw dog food. And you're like, what about toxins? No, they're healthy. In what way? Well, because I had to. Wait, no, I asked you the question, how is that healthy? Because I had to. That doesn't make any sense. We're supposed to be helping pet parents. I'm probably not helping by saying that.
I think you're supporting the ones out there doing this already, right? They are the ones that need to hear this all the time, that somebody's got their back on this solo journey that they've taken with their pet, because it is not an easy journey. It's always more work. I don't vaccinate. I feed raw. I can't just drop my animals off at daycare and leave town for 3 days. I can't do it. My life is more difficult because of the choices I make, but there's no way I'm going to choose something else. So I think pet parents that are already doing all this, it's like, oh, good. They're in the same boat I'm at, because we feel very alone, right? And then we may touch somebody out there that's thinking about it, right? Or they've done a little bit and maybe they need to do more. But I think it's more we're here supporting those that are already doing it, and they're going out and talking to their friends, right?
Yeah.
They're going out and talking to their vet.
You know, and I don't know that everybody has been introduced to the terrain community, because that's a thing. Okay? It's called germ theory versus terrain, which is what we naturally do with raw feeding, no vaccinations, getting, you know, away from the EMFs, getting out in the sunlight. That's called taking care of the natural system of the body, the terrain. And the theory is this, Dr. Andy, that if you take care of the terrain, the body is incredibly smart and will figure out how to keep you healthy. That's what it means by getting out of the way, getting out of your way, right? Like going, like
That's
I
why
said, to get a puppuccino after you do a chiropractic adjustment. It's like,
or all the people we say, just stop all the supplements, see what happens. I think I've even talked about, we had one dog, she was having weird poops. He stopped all the supplements that she had been on for years, and it cleared up. I don't know why she was having weird poops. They weren't hard, they weren't loose, but she would start the poop and then nothing would happen, then she'd poop again. It was just weird. It was weird poops. Stopped all the stuff and that all cleared up. He's like, I don't know what it is. I'm like, and that's the other part of terrain theory that I think people don't get, is we rarely ever know the why. You've got to get over it, folks. And because everything is so connected, and who knows which part of what system kicked in to clear up, you won't know the exact why. And I think it's a lie that you get the exact why from traditional medicine. Here's your diagnosis, and this is why it happened. I think that's mostly just BS most of the time. They just love to give you a name. I've mentioned this many times. They're so proud of themselves because they gave you a name of your problem.
And you're like,
Whoop-de-doo-doo-doo.
I already knew I had the problem. I didn't need to name it.
They don't have any help to help you with the problem, but they gave you the name. So proud of themselves. But okay, so you have a name, but now what do we do about this? What systems are involved? And maybe you have to support a system. Oh, that's not working. Maybe we need to change gears. But that one answer, that why, that box, terrain theory doesn't fit in there.
No, as a matter of fact, true terrain doctors, okay, like Dr. Marty Arce, Maricel Arce, she doesn't give a rip what your diagnosis is. It's like, I don't,
Nope.
we're not dealing with a diagnosis here. We're dealing with what is happening. How is it presenting in your body, you know? And Dr. Jacy talks about that as well. She's like, you know, diagnosis, and she's coming from that arena, right? That arena that everything is a diagnosis. And she is really doing a lot of work out there in regards to trying to change this rabies law in Tennessee. She just got on the Solari podcast, okay, SOL, I think ARI. I have to look at it, but it's going to come out, I think, shortly. They have a huge listener base. And what she did was she contacted Catherine Austin Fitz. Catherine Austin Fitz is in Tennessee. She also lives in the Netherlands, I think, but she lives in Tennessee. But she's huge in the financial arena and huge in understanding the legislative process on how you change laws. So Dr. Jacy contacted her and said, because it's a class, it's a misdemeanor if you don't have your dogs with a rabies shot in Tennessee. And so anyway, she's doing a whole lot of work on this. And I gotta tell you, Dr. Andy, I mean, you know, when you really look at the diagnosis of rabies, it is flimsy. It is for something that has laws like it does around it, the mandates that it has. You would think that there would be a lot more hardcore, substantiative evidence to show that it's a real thing, and there's not. If you really dive into it, there's not. I'm not saying that there aren't some situations of which a dog may look like that, right? But maybe foaming at the mouth, or you know. But as I'm learning, foaming at the mouth and running around crazily, I don't know that they actually go attack somebody.
We don't know.
There's many possibilities for it. And when you start listening to these people like Daniel Roy does, he will say, you know, like if you've got a diagnosis, and that diagnosis always says this caused that, right? This is, would you agree that that's what a di he's
Yeah,
like,
that's what it is.
there in a world of possibilities, it's that. How do we
Right.
arrive at that one thing?
That one thing, that one why this happened, right? Yeah, no idea. Yeah, and I kind of flip it with my clients too and their diagnosis, and they're all like, oh, you know, did you see the x-rays? Did you do this? This is what the vet says. I'm like, uh-huh. And now we're gonna get the body moving and we're gonna see what we get. Like, I don't care. I don't, all these big words that they scared you with and all of this. Now, do we always make effects? No, not with chiropractic, but a good amount of it changes and shifts. And we have conversations and we change some other things and eliminate these toxins and all of this. And it can be amazing. It can be amazing.
Well, I would think that a diagnosis would hamper you if you listened to it. I mean, you'd
Yeah.
be
Oh, people live
right.
up to it too, right? People live up to it. Like if your cancer doc says you have 6 months to live, you know how many people live 6 months? Their dogs live 6 months. because that's all up here. That's all up in your head at that point. We've talked about that on previous podcasts. Your
Oh,
point
yeah.
of view about what this means, you live up to it. Your animals will live up to it. It is amazing, that power of just suggestion and thought. And that's why when vets go off and scare the ever-loving bejesus out of people, which drives me nuts, and plus I have to fix it a lot, which is irritating. I'm like, this could have pre been presented so many different ways, but instead you just decided to scare the crap out of someone, so they just did what you wanted them to do instead of giving them all the facts.
Yeah,
And it just.
it's crazy. You know, we're as I've mentioned, you know, we're dealing with a cancer diagnosis in our family right now, a diagnosis. And but I will tell you that every single traditional doctor has acted in the same way. What is that? Fear, 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 fear. You got to do it now. You got to do it now. You got to do it now. You're gonna die. You're gonna die. You're gonna die.
And don't forget, I'm right about this. Right? Like, they are so right about this. You should be very scared, and yes, you are going to die. Unless you do this that I tell you to do, then you'll feel really crappy before you die. Right?
We're going to make you want to
Like,
die because you're going to feel so
yes,
bad.
you're going to feel so bad. And, radiation and chemo, I mean, this is, we can put a man on the moon, and this is still the best we have.
That's crazy. You know, and
Crazy.
I was listening to this other podcast again in the terrain world. And you guys, there are so many of them. There's Beyond Terrain, there's Terrain Theory, there's Dr. Thomas Cowan. Kaufman's got a podcast, Alex Zach, The Way Forward. I would say
Most of your
start.
chiropractors probably are trained people. We just didn't know it until we now have a name for this. Because
Right?
we were always taught that you get the body going and the body can heal itself. Like, that is, what we were taught. I mean, yeah, we went over this bug does this and this does this and this causes cancer. I mean, we got basic medical schooling, but it was always if you adjusted and let the body do its thing, it fixed a lot of its own problems. So we
Right.
were I this whole like germ theory, when it really reared its ugly head during COVID, and people would come in and go, "I was exposed 3 days ago." I'm like, "Yeah, I don't mean you're gonna get sick." And they're like, "What?" Like, the disconnect that I just didn't see. I'm like, "Why would you think you automatically got sick?" Like, we all stood next to the woman that was leaking snot, or sat next to the on the airplane and didn't get sick. It depends on what your terrain is doing. And so it boggled my mind when it started rearing its ugly head. I'm like,
Well,
wow, I don't.
and there's tons of information out there now, tons of questioning, tons of research on contagion. Is contagion actually a thing? Right? And Dr. Thomas Cowan has written a book on that as well. And yeah, it's a
And I personally think it has a lot to do with your head. Again, back to, oh, I was exposed, I must get sick. Well, 2 days later, you're usually sick because you think you're
and
going to get sick.
right.
Like,
And
and that's how powerful that is.
what did we just talk about? That if seasons change, if there's too much stuff in your body, it needs to go through a process that looks like you're sick, right? Which now every time I find that in either in my family or myself, I've rarely ever seen it in my pets, but I would use the word, and I do use the word detox. It's got to come out. Why am I putting stuff to just shove it back in?
Or suppress it back down, and then the cells have to do something with it, so they squirrel it away for it to come back or cause another problem. I have a client, newer client, switched to raw, centered at DD, and she got her 20-minute consult and switched her dog right away. And she's like, oh, he's still not wanting to eat real well. Okay, cool. And oh, he had diarrhea the other night and he threw up 2 days later. I go, just those one things? She's like, yeah, don't go to the vet. Those are one-offs. those are probably still detoxing because he's only been on the raw, I don't know, 7, 10 days. Did it happen immediately, which is what we always talk about? People think it's going to happen. Well, it'd be nice, but no, it can take some days and the body can do some things. And then, well, I need to expel this now. I don't know why, but he hasn't had any other symptoms. We're switching to one meal a day. And I'm like, you need to do it in the morning. And he's going to get hungry. And I go, and this is going to be harder on you than him. He's 4. He's fine if he's not eating fantastic for a few days. Like, it's fine. So we'll see.
Lassie?
But I'm like, no, those are one-offs. Those are not, no. The vet has nothing for you except some drastically awful pills.
Lassie eats once a day. She's 6. She eats in the morning. Now,
I switch mine to morning. And I have 3-year-olds and almost 9-year-olds. And
unfortunately, it has one bad drawback to it. She wakes me up every morning at 6:30 to 7 o'clock. And Rick's like, you taught her that. And as a German Shepherd, she talks a lot in the morning.
She's up and ready, Dee Dee.
She's like, and I'm just like, okay, you know, everybody's not awake. We need to be quiet. And as soon as my feet hit the floor, it gets louder.
Louder. So I have a new theory. This is my theory. I'm working on this. That a lot of people that do one meal a day, they do evenings. And I tried evenings and it was disastrous. I had hunger pukes. I'm like, ugh. So we stopped that, went back to 2 meals, and now we're doing it in the morning. But all these older dogs that don't want to eat in the morning, my new theory is that their cortisol is too low. Their hormones are off. And that we really do need to feed that one meal in the morning in their life. I wouldn't force a really senior dog to do this, but so we don't end up with this problem, so we can keep that cortisol high, that we can keep all the melatonin and all the hormones functioning in a proper circadian rhythm, you do need to feed in the morning. And if we can get them going in the morning, like Lassie at that age, it should hold through. Right? We don't end up with these senior dogs that don't want to eat in the morning. It's more of this is my theory, folks. It's more of a hormonal imbalance than it is anything else.
And when you say morning, are you saying anytime before noon in your head? Or are you saying?
No, I am saying as soon as you get up, and you should be getting up to watch the sunrise with your pets.
I've been doing that. Thank you, Lassie.
And the sun right now is coming up about 6:40, 6:45. And so we're actually up later because earlier in the summer, it's up close to 6 before time changes. We're up that early. Like I follow and my pets follow. I eat my breakfast first and then they eat. But yeah, it's in the morning, as close to sunrise as you can possibly get. Yes.
And then do you follow the don't eat anything when the sun goes down?
For me, yes. It probably is really close to the animals because I'm not in the kitchen anymore, right?
Right.
So
it's
darn close. Now, I got to say they had bully sticks last night. They get some bones in the evening if they're just really like in my face about, I need something to chew on. They're not particularly not getting anything in fasting. Now, if you have a sick animal, you may really want to look into that and and that's what I think people need to understand is you can fudge some of these rules. You can have a bully stick. You can have some treats, single ingredient meat treats. But when you have a sick animal, you've got to up the ante. I just had this conversation with my husband who had bilateral knee replacement surgery, and he's still really inflamed. And all the stories he has now from people is how awful they've gone 6 months, a year, 3 years later. And I go, and your diet's not great. You're drinking, zero sugar Coke crap. You're not out watching the sunrise. You're not, well, that's a lot of work. I'm like, yeah, but you're not well right now. You need to do all of this stuff. Right? That's when you really have to dial it in and pay attention to the details. And that's what I don't, and it's hard, especially with people, because, well, that's when they don't feel good. Right? So getting really into the down and dirty when you don't feel good is hard, but that's when you actually have to do it. So if your pets are not well and you're having an issue, that's when you have to dial it in. And you need to consult everybody on your pet health care team. And you need to do chiropractic. And you need to really pay attention to seasonal feeding. And you really need to do the fasting.
I have learned so much about fasting in a chronic or an acute illness, but certainly in a chronic illness. And I was talking to Dr. Marzelli about this as well. And she's like, look, I would absolutely, because there's a guy out there named Lauren Lockwood, and he's got a whole clinic for people who are ill and then fast, right? And they heal. And we're talking 30, 60, some of these 90-day fast. Okay. And I'm talking water fast. She, which I love her. She's like, yeah, I would absolutely support that if a human has the body weight to lose, right? Because you are going to lose, there's no doubt about it. You're going to lose some weight on a water fast. She's like, but if you're like skin and bones, you probably can't do that.
You probably can't.
Right. But
That's
for the
it.
dogs, it's super easy to do. I think it's our pet parents that are like, oh my God, they're starving and they're gonna die. And I'm like, they aren't. Their body doesn't have to think about digestion. Their body doesn't have to put all that energy towards that. It takes so much energy to heal. And what I understand today is many people die after, and pets die after these extensive treatments because they don't have the energy to heal, right? This is the thing. You have to have the energy to heal.
You do. And when they're fasting, that kicks the body into autophagy, and the body goes around and cleaning up all of the sick cells, be it cancer cells, be it other cells. That's when the body's busy doing all of that. If you keep shoving food in your animal or yourself, that's the only thing the body has time for is over there in digestion, because a lot of organs are involved in that. And it takes, like you said, a lot of energy. And when you get outside and you get your pets outside and you're in the sun and you're grounding, that's just free electrons. That's just free energy to help support their healing or their health, and yourselves.
Well, I've been, we walk around barefoot. You know, we have 2.5 acres. And I will say, I spend a lot of time cleaning up the pine cones and those little bitty ones that just you step on them and you're like, oh my gosh, it sends you. But I do. I go out there and I, you know, it's like I'm out in nature. Lozzie's out there with me and I will do the backyard and I will do the sides, you know. All where we walk so that we can walk barefoot, right? There's still going to be stuff out there, but you know, there we don't spray here. Well, those dumbasses come down my street and I chased them down not too long ago. I was like, what are you doing? They were like, that's a
Good for
crazy
you.
person. All right, everybody, you can work with Dr. Andy. She's at everwellpets.com, everpets.com. I can spell.
Today.
I got it. Check her out over there. They got the blogs. They got the podcast posted. You can attend the Watering Bowl events. Those are Q&A events with Dr. Andy. So
They're
check
coming
those
back.
out. They're coming back. They're coming back. All right, everybody, get your dogs on a species appropriate diet. Do not do puppuccinos. Just saying. We don't want to know about
Single meat treats.
right. And only single ingredient. And
Ingredient
listen,
meat treats, sorry.
yes. And if you know folks that are doing Farmer's Dog or Fresh Pet and they're having problems, send them over here. We see it a lot. We see it a lot.
Oh, a lot.
We see a lot of itching, a lot of UTIs coming off Farmer's Dog. And we see dogs that can't gain weight on Fresh Pet. So anyway, if you have that situation going on, let us know. And Brian will be happy to help you. Okay. So just get over to rawdogfoodandcompany.com where your pet's health is our business. And what, Dr. Andy?
Friends don't let friends feed kibble.
That's right. We'll see you soon, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snap, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.